Today, President Trump supported his former security advisor's request for immunity in exchange for testimony about possible Russian ties to the Trump campaign. The president tweeted out, "Mike Flynn should ask for immunity and that this is a witch hunt excuse for big election loss by media and Dems of historic proportion." Meanwhile, the chair of the House Intelligence Committee, Devin Nunes, is being called, to be charitable, less than truthful for saying he had no contact with White House aides when he went there to receive intelligence. Turns out it was White House aides who showed Nunes that intelligence.
So as we learn more about all of this, Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov was asked on ABC's Good Morning America if there was a new Cold War between the U.S. and Russia, and here's how he answered.
New Cold War? Well, maybe even worse.
Let's bring in our politics roundtable to talk about all of this and more. Joining us today, Beth Fooey, senior politics editor at NBC News and MSNBC. Hi, Beth.
Hi.
And Maria Elena Salinas, news anchor at Univision. Maria Elena, great to have you as well.
Likewise. Thank you.
So we just heard about the Trump tweet this morning that Mike Flynn should ask for immunity. Here's what Flynn has said about immunity before, including last year on NBC's Meet the Press.
No individual too big to jail. That should include people like Hillary Clinton. I mean, five people around her have been given immunity, to include her former chief of staff. When you are given immunity, that means that you've probably committed a crime.
So maybe he's wishing he hadn't said that at this point. But Beth, a little more smoke here. Any fire yet in all of this?
So much smoke. And you know, you mentioned Trump's tweet. It's very strange to me that Trump would actually call for immunity for Mike Flynn, given that he could conceivably come forward with some very damaging testimony about Trump, about Trump's associates, about Trump's campaign. It's a great way to fight back at his adversaries and at Democrats, and to once again raise the specter that Dems are just, you know, sore and sulking still because of the election outcome. But in effect, he's saying, you know, bring it on, Michael Flynn. You can say whatever you need to say and not worry about prosecution. And that's a very dangerous place for him to be.
Let's talk about Devin Nunes. And again, the news that it was White House staffers who gave him some intelligence when he went to the White House. Here's a ranking Democrat, Adam Schiff, yesterday.
On the same day that the New York Times broke a story saying that the source of the materials that were provided to our chairman was, in fact, National Security Council staff, I was informed in a letter from White House counsel that National Security Council staff found these materials in the ordinary course of business. Now, that timing concerns me.
So there, you know, nobody is denying that it was those staffers who found those materials. But there's other timing that concerns people. I just want to hear another piece of sound. Nunes got the material from the White House aides, then took it to President Trump and the press. But here he is on Monday night on CNN, before this news broke, host Wolf Blitzer asked him about being at the White House to see the evidence.
In addition to going to that secure room to look over these documents, did you have other meetings at the White House? Did you meet with the president or any of his aides while you were there that night?
No, and in fact, I'm quite sure that I think people in the West Wing had no idea that I was there.
Maria Lannis, pick this up, because another time Wolf Blitzer asked him again, this was days before, so you're saying no White House aides. He said no White House aides. They came back to a CNN panel, and it included a legal analyst, Jeffrey Toobin, who said, don't lie to Wolf Blitzer. What happens now that there
They're
has
definitely
been...
hiding something, I think. I'm sorry I interrupted you.
No, your thoughts.
It's just, you know, this is still so incredible. It has all the makings of a Russian spy novel, and it gets weirder and weirder every day, and everyone trying to dissect every single piece of information that comes out. You know, the American people deserve to know, and it is the press duty, the media's duty to investigate. I just wonder sometimes why Trump is so upset about this. You know, I don't think it's because he's worried that his supporters will turn their back on him, because all polls show that his supporters think there was no interference by the Russians in the campaign, and they don't give importance to any contacts his campaign staff may have had with the Russians, but a great majority of Democrats do. You know, I think there's something bigger here. Well, there's something bigger that concerns them, because the White House is working overtime to try to deflate this Russian thing.
Well, Beth, before we jump in, you know, people are questioning, why would the White House go to these extremes of getting information out to Nunes and he goes to Trump? And when the information wasn't even clearing Trump's claim of having been wiretapped by President Obama, it was talking about incidental surveillance. Why would they take that risk that this would get out?
Well, this is also cloak and dagger, and yet they're not doing their cloak and dagger work very well. I mean, if you think about it, I stepped back and looked at the end of the month today. It's March 31st. And, you know, this entire month, one could say, is March madness for the Trump White House. And it all began on March 1st, as you'll recall, when Jeff Sessions, when it was determined that Jeff Sessions had actually spoken twice to the Russian ambassador, even though he had said in his confirmation hearing to be attorney general that he had not. That's uncorked this whole chain of events. That determination happened. The next day he stepped forward and he said he would recuse himself from any investigation into Trump campaign connections to Russia. 2 days later, the president unleashed his tweets claiming that President Obama had wiretapped Trump Tower. And ever since then, the entire month, everything that's happened since then has been colored by this, by the claim, the unsubstantiated claim of the wiretapping at Trump Tower. Then we saw Comey stepped forward at the House Intelligence Committee hearing to confirm that the FBI was looking into Trump campaign connections to Russia. Then we had the Nunes coming forward, as you said, saying that this incidental wiretapping or surveillance had happened, and all the questions concerning that. Basically, everything that's happened to the president and to this White House this month has been colored by this all these questions and all the smoke, as you said, about the Russia investigation. And nothing on their agenda can really go forward until some of these questions are cleared up.
Well,
and even if the Trump base doesn't care, clearly others do. And his approval rating is well down into the 30s or low 40s. And people want answers.
Well, let's talk about some of the other items on his agenda, because it's only been a week since the health care bill that the GOP offered up died in the House. Let's listen here to what President Trump said at a dinner with senators on Tuesday night.
I know that we're all going to make a deal on health care. That's such an easy one. So I have no doubt that that's going to happen very quickly. I think it will, actually. I think it's going to happen.
What? Maria Elena, is health care back on the table?
Well, remember, we're not supposed to take it literally, whatever
right.
his comments
just a
are,
joke,
literally.
Right.
Yeah, it was just a joke. You know, it's just unbelievable that, you know, after 7 years of trying to repeal and replace Obamacare, Republicans didn't have a bill written up that they all agreed on. You know, it was so unpopular. It's just amazing that the day before they were supposed to vote, the poll came out and said that it only had a 17% approval rate. You know, now that it's failed, polls are coming out and it seems that people are not necessarily blaming Trump for the failure, but rather, you know, a very bad bill. Why did they have a bad bill? We have to really think about that. Also, I think that they made a mistake in treating this as a now or never situation. You know, they didn't leave the door open for continuing to work on something that was actually better than Obamacare, like they promised. So, you know, the consequences are that Trump now has to answer to voters that he promised to repeal and replace with something beautiful and wonderful that would cover everyone. And Republicans have to explain to their constituents why they couldn't deliver on something they've supposedly been working on for years. And this whole thing has created some deep divisions in the Republican Party. Yet Trump says things that are so far from reality, you don't know what to believe anymore.
Well,
and most people will think, well, if the president says this, it must be true. At least his followers think that.
Well, I was just going to say, Beth, his supporters and voters absolutely are applauding him. I'm so struck. The CNN panel that they reconvene of voters, all of them gave Donald Trump an A over the last couple of days. And there are those ads that are coming from the Mercer family, Rebecca and Bob, the big financial backers of President Trump. They're blanketing some states. They boast of 298,000 new jobs, reducing EPA regulations, greenlighting the Keystone Pipeline, withdrawing from Trans-Pacific Partnership, and it's just begun. I mean, they're applauding, Beth.
They're applauding, but just think about it. The fact that the Mercers feel that they have to do an air campaign and give this president some air cover at this stage of the game, 70 days in, shows how really – they're worried about him. If he was really going great guns and great gangbusters, they wouldn't feel the need to come in with this ad campaign to protect him. Look, it's true. He does have about a 35 to 40% base that will probably be with him for quite some time. They tell our pollsters that they like what they've seen. They like the fact that he's breaking China. He's not adhering to convention. Sure, all those things that the Mercer ads are saying that he's accomplished, though, are pretty much executive orders. He's accomplished basically nothing in terms of a legislative agenda. And the smoke of the Russia investigation has permeated. If you're only at 35% at this stage of the game as president, this is supposed to be when presidents are at their peak of popularity.
The honeymoon.
2 months in, it's still the honeymoon. And in this case, he's never been above water since the day he was inaugurated. In fact, just things have been going further and further south. He's pretty much as far down as one can go. The only people who are still with him, it appears, are his hardcore base.
Well, that kind of wraps up our segment today. We got a lot there, but we should say that next week is going to be a big week, too, with a vote on the nomination of Judge Neil Gorsuch to the Supreme Court. And, by the way, a visit by the Chinese president, Xi Jinping, to the United States. So we'll have a lot to talk about next week. But for this week, Beth Fooey, senior politics editor at NBC News and MSNBC, and Maria Elena Salinas, news anchor at Univision. Thanks so much, as always.
Good to talk to all of you.
Thanks for having me.